I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, so I was inspired by an experience that I had earlier this week to do this episode on instant gratification, because so often that's what we're looking for. We're always looking for, where can I win? Where can I get these quick results? Where can I lose 100 pounds in 3 months? Or for other people who may have businesses, it's like, where can I make $10,000 this month? It's, where can I do these really big things? Maybe it's, can I go on 3 dates and find the love of my life? Can I get divorced super fast? We have these ideas of getting quick results and this instant gratification. And that's a lot of what in my opinion, what the diet industry is based around. It's do these really crazy extreme things, cut your calories down to 800 a day, eat only these foods, and you'll lose weight. And sometimes that works. Sometimes. And I'm going to put works in quotations here. Sometimes it, quote, works short term, because we do enough of the restriction to create this short term benefit, this short term result of, I've lost weight. So let's say you lose 10 pounds in a month, but it's not sustainable. You always gain it back and then some. And then it's harder and harder to go back to that same diet. And I've heard this time and time again, especially with some specific programs that, like, I don't want to throw anybody else's program under the bus. The key, though, is that you find what works for you. And that the challenge is getting out of the instant gratification and into, what is the long-term lifestyle result that I want to create, and being willing to give yourself the time to get there and to create that. And it's really hard. It's hard to enjoy the process. It's hard to take your time. It's hard to go what feels slow when we are looking for that instant gratification, that quick win, the big hit of dopamine, the big high, and why that is. Now, there's a few stories that are all going to come into play here. One of which is me searching for a new car. So I sold my Telluride, which I loved. I loved that vehicle, but the payment was high. I don't need something that fancy. I don't need a payment that high. And when I looked at, when I added on the monthly payment, gas, insurance, my total payment for a vehicle every month was over $1,100. And I was like, okay, I don't need this. I could probably get my total payment half that and be $500, $550, something like that. And I heard a really good recommendation, which was that if you look at your monthly income and how much you're bringing in, you want your car expense to be 10% of that gross income per month. And so I was like, oh, that's a really good number. And so because of having a business and my income fluctuates month to month, I was like, okay, I want to set a very conservative number to be playing with for my monthly income. That way I have just a better budget that I know that I can meet consistently. So anyways, I was like, all right, I want to cut this in half was my initial goal. So I'm looking for this new vehicle, right? So I've sold mine. I'm now driving my ex-husband's car because he got a new vehicle, which I will also say, side note, I am so proud of the way that we have created a very healthy co-parenting relationship. And he's letting me borrow his car, the spare vehicle, while he has it. I'm going to get an oil change and I'm going to pay for that. Not that I need to, but just as a thank you. Hey, I appreciate what you're doing here. If I end up driving it for more than a few weeks, then I'm going to just rent it from him and we'll come up with a rental agreement. And then when he needed an extra couple days where I took our son, I was happy to do that for him. And he was happy to loan me this vehicle. He was happy to come on short notice when I was selling it to be able to write it off because he was on the title too. So I just want to take a little side note of, even though things can be tense during a divorce, even though things can be tense afterwards and in the couple months afterwards, we this year have created a really good co-parenting relationship. And one of the things that I'm always telling clients is that you need to be celebrating your wins. You need to be celebrating the progress, and you always want to be looking at, where can you find pride in what you're doing and be proud of what you are creating in life. Because it's really easy to look at what we don't have. It's really easy to say, I didn't get this instant gratification, and so now I'm upset or disgruntled or frustrated. And I'm not saying that my co-parenting relationship has to look like yours by any means. It's not that mine is better in any way. It's just, I'm going to feel really proud of what we have created. And this has been us both intentionally wanting to put our son first. It's also because neither of us have family in town. Like, we are each other's backup. And the fact that we can still maintain a fairly functioning relationship, let's call it that, because there are still some things that come up for both of us. I told him he looked old the other day. He also insulted me. I didn't mean it as an insult, but anyways, stuff still comes out. It's being willing to look at it and address it. What I find really fascinating, and this is a total side tangent, but what's interesting is he called me out and I didn't call him out. He was like, oh, that was mean. Why did you say that? And I was like, oh, you have a lot of gray in your beard. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be insulting. The thought came into my mind and I said it out loud, but I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. I guess I was a little rude. And so it's interesting, right? Like, he called me out, but I still almost, it's like I get surprised when he'll say things like, he was comparing me to an ex-girlfriend and he was like, yeah, she reminded me a lot of you. Like, we're from the same hometown. We both only fly Southwest. Like, we have some of these little nuances. And then he drops this little dig of, you're both terrible with money. And then he goes on, and I was surprised and also, what the hell, like, WTF, what is going on? And there were two other instances where there were these little jabs, these little digs, and I didn't say anything. And that's part of my growth. And this is part of it, is anytime we are working on changing a habit and changing how we're showing up in the world, whether it is with an ex, whether it's in your current relationship, whether it's with food or weight loss or binging, it's always about being able to identify what happened afterwards. We are always going to catch it after the result, after we've created something. So it's after the action of letting it slide. And there was even a joke, oh, I'm rolling my eyes at you right now, or something like that. So he knew it was a jab, but I also didn't let it hurt me. I didn't let it bother me. I didn't let it throw me off. I was just like, bitch, please just watch what I'm about to create, like what I'm about to do. So I'm not fazed by it, but it's also a little, it's interesting, right? Of like, I also didn't call him out and be like, that's actually really rude. Please don't say that to me. If you say that, I'm just going to get off the phone and we can continue any talk about things for our son via email. And I don't have to control him and what he says and what he does. I can control how I respond and how I show up though. But part of this is catching things after it's happened. And it's now going to be starting to catch it sooner and sooner. So I will get to the point where I'm going to say things faster and faster, and where I will be able to catch it, where I will get off the phone if stuff like that continues. But for the most part, overall, we have a fairly healthy co-parenting relationship, or we have a fairly functioning. I keep calling it healthy. It's functioning, and we are much better as co-parents than we are as a married couple. And it's interesting because this, I think, can be threatening to some people. I dated a guy who he thought that was really great. He was like, that's amazing. He has dated women where they felt threatened by that, or threatened that he would get me a Starbucks mug. And in my mind, I'm thinking, he's spending thousands of dollars to take you across the world on this vacation, and you're upset because he's getting me a mug? Like, really now? Anyways, okay, so all of this about the car, right? So instant gratification, we're going back to the car. So that's my little side tangent. Feel proud of yourself. Write this down. I have a Word document, which actually I need to go and update, or it's a Google Doc I need to update because I haven't done it in a few days. But I keep a running list and a running tab. Here's how I'm proud of myself for today. Here's what I'm proud of. Here are the things where I'm like the areas where I'm crushing it. And it's going to be all different areas of life. And the more that we lean into and we feel proud of how we're showing up, the better we are going to feel in life. And the more committed and motivated and encouraged we are going to be to keep going after the goals, even when we don't have instant gratification, even when we're not seeing the results immediately that we want to see. So that's my long-winded side tangent there. So anyways, I'm searching for a new car, right? So I had one shipped in from Georgia via CarMax, and it only costs like $100, but I get in the car and it smells like smoke. All right, first it smelled fine, but then it started to smell like smoke, and then it smelled like weed. And so I'm driving it for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes max, but I noticed between the 5 and 10 minute mark of driving it around town, I'm getting a headache. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. So then I get irritated. So I'm like, all right, just because I like the car and the style and the model and everything doesn't mean that when I actually get in it, it's going to be the one that I want. So I need to make sure that I can test drive and I can get in the vehicles that I want. So then I was like, okay, instead of just looking at CarMax, where cars are spread out all over the country or Carvana or one of these other sites, let me start looking at local dealerships and see what I can find. So I ended up finding a Hyundai Tucson hybrid about 2 hours south of me. And so I thought, all right, I'm really interested in this. I want to test drive this vehicle. There was also a Land Rover Discovery, which I've decided it's so hit or miss with those vehicles. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to risk it. So I'm not going to go that route. But I decide I really want to drive. I really want to test drive them too. So I drive almost 2 hours south on Monday to go to this dealership to test drive this vehicle. And they don't have it. They have loaned out the vehicle that I was planning to test drive. And so I'm like, okay, let me test drive the other one that I wanted. And then do you have maybe a new, like another model of a hybrid, like this Tucson hybrid, but maybe it's a different year. Maybe it's not the exact one, but it's comparable. Let me just get in and feel it, right? I'm already here. Let's see what we can do. So I spend about an hour and a half at the dealership. I drive 2 hours back home. They asked me to come back on Friday. And in the moment, and here's what I'm thinking, like, I'm going to be sweet as pie right now and be very accommodating and very nice. But if I buy a vehicle from you, like, I'm going to negotiate the hell out of this. So that was my thought, was like, that I will use this at some point. But I don't need to get all upset and huffy and puffy. I don't need to make a scene. I'm going to be very sweet and I'm going to get what I want with honey. I drive home. So now I have spent 5.5, almost 6 hours out of my day driving around town, going to do stuff, like trying to figure out this car. And then I go home and I'm like, all right, now I'm back to what else do I want? Is that really what I want? And so now I spend another like 3 hours looking at vehicles online. So I've spent over 8 hours on Monday on a holiday when I would have liked to have been working and getting certain things done. I'm spending all this time on a vehicle. And I'm so frustrated and I get off. And so I message a friend and I was like, ah, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to look for a vehicle until next year. I'm just going to drive my ex's car. It's fine. It, like, it's doable and just screw it, right? Oh, the all or nothing cycles we get into. And I say this and I share this because my brain does this too. And so I'm often pointing out to clients where they are in this all or nothing dichotomy. And I've been there too, going all in, spending 8 hours in one day searching for a car, getting frustrated that I'm not finding it, I'm not seeing it. It's not like the right vehicle that I want in the right price point, in a location where I can easily access it and test drive it. So I'm like, screw it. Everything's out the window. And now I'm not going to look at this for months. So I go very much from being all in to all out. And my friend responds back and she just lovingly points this out as, oh, this is interesting, right? And I get it. She's like, I get that spending 8 hours a day searching for a vehicle is not what you want to do. And for me too, I'm also like, this isn't even the most important thing I want to do this month or that I want to do in this next season, in this last quarter of the year. I'm like, I don't want to be spending all this time trying to figure out a vehicle. And so, but in just a little bit of back and forth with her, we were talking through some things and she was like, what if it was just 1 to 2 hours a week? She was like, what if you just split it up and you decided, okay, here's what I want, here's what I'm open to, and I'm open to finding it in my city where I can drive 30 minutes or less to go test drive it, and I can easily get it where I need it to be. I don't need to drive all over the Southeast trying to find a vehicle. I'll find it and believing that the right one is going to be here for me at the right time. So a little bit of it is a little like belief work, a little bit of manifesting, which is interesting because she's often compared buying a car to dating and finding your person. And so I'm like, okay. And I can see how we do this with dating too. If you've ever been on an app recently, or maybe just dating in general, I would say a lot of people use apps where it's, we're on the app for a couple of days. And maybe in the beginning, we're spending hours on the apps and we're getting to know a bunch of people, but then it's not going anywhere. The dates suck. Or you find like you're scrolling, but you're just not connecting or matching with people or people who are going to match your energy and your intention. And so then you're just like, yeah, screw it. Spend like really intense amounts of time. And then we're like, yeah, I'm done. Delete it all. And we go through these big extremes. Okay. So anyways, to bring it back to the car. So I was like, I'm going to believe that my car is here. I don't need to spend 8 hours a day searching for it. And now that I have test driven a couple and I have an idea of what I like, what I don't like, now let me see. And I'm going to look, go back to CarMax where I can expand my radius, not just of what's in my town, but there's a radius where they will ship it for free. And I ended up finding a Tucson hybrid, so the car that I wanted, with heated seats and a sunroof and the little perks that I'm looking for, like the features that I want, in my price range, that has the monthly payment that I want. They offer like an extended warranty that I feel like is very budget friendly, and they would ship it to me for free because it's coming from Mississippi. And this was 1 or 2 days later. I think this was Wednesday, right? So I'm all huffy and puffy Monday night, and I'm like, screw it, Tuesday. I have my come to Jesus moment. And I'm like, all right. And then Wednesday, I'm like, okay, just out of curiosity and a little bit out of procrastination, let me look at the CarMax site and just start to refine a little bit. And I think I was just looking at hybrids because I was open to a Toyota RAV4. I'm looking at like a couple different options. But I was like, I think I'd really enjoy and like to have a hybrid. I think that would be like just, it could be a really great option. And then I found one. And I don't know how long it had been on the site. And I don't like, and I think I had opened up, maybe I opened up my budget parameters a little bit more, but I had not seen this one before. So I was like, oh, isn't that fun? So I'm having it shipped to me for free. I'm going to test drive it probably the end of next week. They need to get it in and do all their quality control and everything before I go in. I'm traveling this next week, so it'll probably be it'll be a week before I can actually test drive it. But I'm like, hey, isn't this fun? And the interest rate provided on their cars are different based on each individual car. It's a different interest rate and range. It's actually a pretty low interest rate for this vehicle, though. So I'm like, look at that. Granted, I haven't gone in and done all of the financing to look at what are all of the final numbers, but just this initial look with my prequal, I'm like, hey, this is very doable. And this falls right in line with what I'm looking to do by cutting my payments in half. And what's interesting too, is I'm getting a newer car with roughly the same amount of miles. It's just a little bit different version of a car. Now that's a hybrid where I'm going to save in gas and I'm going to cut my payments for a vehicle by half. Over 50%. So I'm like, okay, this is amazing. But I started looking at vehicles like a month ago. Like this has been a long, hard fought process. And clearly, because I've been talking for 20 minutes and barely got into the content here, like it has taken some time to get here to find the vehicle. And I don't even know if this is the one. I am still like, I am hopeful. But I am also still a little reserved. I'm looking forward to test driving it, but I am not 100% sold. Like I can't guarantee that this is the one. And that's okay. But I'm making progress and I'm getting closer and closer. And even if this vehicle isn't the one, it is still getting me closer to where I want to go. It's getting me closer to getting the one that I do want and the one that is going to be the one that I purchase. So this is important to recognize though, because it's been several weeks. And it's been me looking online. It's been me trying things at different locations, different dealerships. I was even calling around some of the local like Hyundai, Ford dealerships of, hey, do you guys do trades? Like if I found a car in Birmingham or Nashville, would you bring it elsewhere? And they basically were like, no, unless it's in our car family, like we're not going to transfer vehicles. So I was like, okay, that's cool. So I'm collecting more data. I'm getting more information. I'm figuring out how this all works. And I'm deciding what are the parameters in which that I want to find a vehicle? And the reality is I don't need something immediately. And I think that's been really helpful, is recognizing my impatience, recognizing me wanting to find it or wanting to get it right away, and really just sitting back and deciding, okay, here's how I want this process to look. Here's what I want this to be like. Here's the experience that I want to have of buying a car. And it's been a little bit different than when I bought cars in the past. This is very much like how we are going to lose weight, how we're going to stop emotionally eating or binge eating. We have to learn and we have to decide how we want this experience to be. And we have to be willing for it to take as long as it's going to take, while still also evaluating and learning from what we're creating, even when it's unwanted results, and look at how we can shift it and create what it is that we do truly want. And when we detach from the outcome and we detach from needing those instant results and the instant gratification, that's when we can create what it is that we truly desire. Because when it comes to weight loss and emotional eating and binge eating, my whole philosophy and belief is, what can you do for the rest of your life without hating your life. And know that is going to evolve and it's going to change, but you have to meet yourself where you're at right now. You have to decide. Like, when there was a time when I was like eating 4 protein bars a day, I was drinking mochas all day long, and I decided, I was like, I do not want it to live without my mocha. Nope. Like, you will have to pry that out of my cold, dead hands. Nope, not going to happen. And it wasn't, and probably took a year for me to start. And then eventually I did start drinking black coffee in the morning. And I was like, you know what? I would rather save my mochas for the afternoon. I would rather not have something more sugary, even if it was low sugar, even if it was sugar-free. I would rather not do that in the morning. And I got used to black coffee. And now I actually enjoy it. Like, I will drink a half-calf black coffee. And sometimes I'll even do decaf black coffee. What is this? Because it's part of it is more of just this tradition of drinking something hot in the morning. And I just have really started to enjoy coffee. The other things are my protein bars. I was like, okay, I'm eating 3 or 4 a day. That's not what I want. But I would like to have one. I know that I'm not going to be able to say, never will I ever eat this again. So it's going back and now deciding, okay, I'm going to have one. That feels really good and doable. And there are some days where I don't eat any, but there's freedom and there's permission, and I don't have to binge on it because I know that I get more the next day. And I know when it's really good and it tastes really awesome, or if it's a cake or cookies, or like I often, my son and I will get cookies on if he comes to the gym with me to one gym. There's so funny. There's the gym, there's a cookie place, and then there's a salad shop. And so sometimes we'll do the gym, we'll go get a salad, and he and I will eat it together, and then we'll go get a cookie. And the cookies are amazing, like out of this world, fantastic. And I know I'm going to eat one and I'm going to want another, and he's going to eat one and he's also going to want to eat another. And it's all about recognizing, yep, I know you want more, and we're going to save this for tomorrow. This is all about really creating safety around food. And we create safety around the weight loss process, around the binge eating, emotional eating process of recognizing this will, it's like knowing it's going to take a little bit of time and it's going to look different for everybody, but really healing our relationship with food. And it's when we learn to let go and release the timeline, when we have that willingness to slow down because we know it will ultimately speed us up, when we let go of the need for instant gratification, then as we create so much peace and ease, and that's how you create a life that you love. That's how you learn to love your body and love your life now, right now, as it is in this moment, and all the way down the scale. This is how we need to be approaching things. It's learning to love your life in this moment as you are getting divorced, and not looking to, after the divorce, then I get to feel good, then I get to feel better, because life will always be 50-50. You may not have that person in your life anymore, but you're still going to have emotions. You're still going to have fear. You're still going to have anxiety. You're still going to have these other things come up. And it's always a trade-off. And it's still going to feel hard. And one of my things around divorce has always been, like, it was hard to be married to my spouse. It was also hard to get divorced. And it was hard to be single and be on my own when I had never done that in my life before, paying all my own bills, being responsible for all of those things. And it like both are hard. But I'm choosing the hard that's getting me closer to the vision I have for my life. The hard that I was in the marriage kept me stuck in cycles and stuck swirling and frustrated and really in this negative cycle. I wasn't able to move up. I wasn't able to move forward. But on the outside, like, I'm moving forward, but it's still going to feel hard. And I don't make that a problem. So this is going to be what it's like with dating. It's going to be what it's like with weight loss, with finding a new job, with finding a new career, right? How many times have you been looking for a new job? And let's say you're looking for a few weeks, maybe it's been a month, and you get so frustrated and you're like, ah, I give up. Fine. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. I'm not finding what I want. I'm not finding the right job, the right company, the right pay scale, the right whatever. It's very easy to fall back into this all or nothing habit. And the all or nothing thing is probably one of the things I coach on the most, is how do we break this mindset? Because for whatever reason, this just feels like a universal American truth. So many of us live in the extremes of black and white and not in the gray in between. And life happens in the gray. I don't love the concept of the 50 Shades of Grey, like, book and movie, but, like, life is 50 Shades of Grey. Like, I don't know. I need to come up with a better analogy. 50 Shades of Pink, maybe? 50 Shades of... I don't want to go with red. Like, what do I do? Blue? Let's do blue. It's 50 Shades of Blue. That's what I should name this podcast. Oh, goodness. Okay. So, instant gratification. And how can we let go of needing it? How do we recognize when we're looking for it? And how a lot of times it's looking for that instant gratification that is sabotaging our goals. It's detracting from the progress. It's detracting from enjoying the journey. Okay. And we want instant results. We want this instant gratification to prove that what we're doing is working or that it's going to work. A lot of times that's what we're looking for. We're looking at, let me see the results so that I believe. It's the whole, like, backwards reverse model we get into. So it's, I've got to see it before I believe it. And I have been here too. Like, trust me, I a lot of this comes out of what I share. It comes out of my own experiences. And even when I have now done it and created it in one area of life, I'm also now working and flexing that same muscle to believe new things on purpose before I have any evidence of them in other areas. And it's now believing before I see the result. But how many times have you thought to yourself, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, we are so jaded, we are bitter, and just not really, we're not in our power. We're not standing in the amazing creators and manifestors that we really are. And so we're thinking, I'll believe it when I see it. I've got to see the results first though, and then I'll believe it. Versus, I'm going to keep believing and I'm going to keep showing up as if it's there and if it's coming. And it's, I'm not going to stop until I see it. And this reframe was so powerful. My coach shared this with me the other week because I was bringing the same exact thing to her, not around weight loss and emotional eating, but in another area around business. And I was like, honestly, I was like, if I'm really honest, like, I'm not going to believe it, until I have the final result. And so she was like, okay, I want to challenge you to not stop until you see the result of, like, it's no longer, I'm not going to believe, but it's, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to keep trying. I'm not going to lose my commitment to this goal. I'm just going to keep going until I create it. And that really helped to shift things, because this is one of the hardest things to do, is to believe before you have the result. And a lot of times we're looking to prove to ourselves that we can keep believing with the result. It's, I need to see this result in order to prove that it's working so that I can trust myself to keep going, so that I can trust that this process is working. We want to justify and encourage ourselves to keep moving towards this goal, to keep taking the action, to stay in belief. We're looking to feel motivated and committed, but we're looking for these external things. We want external validation and these external results to have us feeling committed and motivated. But these are emotions, right? Motivated and committed. These are emotions, which means that they are driven by your thoughts. And your thoughts, you get to choose. We get to think anything we want about any circumstance, about any result that we created. You get to decide. Okay. And so it's just recognizing, like, a lot of times we want quick results, quick wins, instant gratification, because we are trying to prove something, we are trying to earn something, we are trying to believe something. Instead of, I want to practice believing ahead of time, and I'm going to really stretch and flex my brain to believe on purpose before I have results, before I have evidence. And this is where it's always like a dynamic, right? Because sometimes we are caught up doing things that are not useful. Like, we are stuck in diets, we are stuck in cycles, we are stuck in patterns. We keep going back to Weight Watchers or keto or Optavia or Nutrisystem or some of these other programs where it's like they, quote, worked at one point, but you can't, it's not now working. It's not working the way that it used to. Or maybe it's exercise more and eat less. And you keep thinking you just have to keep cutting calories and keep cutting food and keep exercising harder. And you're at a point where you're like, I can't keep doing that. I'm not in a phase of life where I can do that. It just doesn't feel good. And so you don't know how to create the results anymore. And so part of the challenge is knowing and recognizing when what we're doing isn't working and having the ability to come out and say it, to actually accept that when it's not working, which is episode 99 of the podcast. If you haven't listened to that, because there are going to be times when we give up too quickly and we aren't committed. And there are times when it's so fascinating. We'll give up on something new, something that could potentially work, and we'll go back to what doesn't work because it, quote, worked in the past. So when I had a coach who was telling me to eat more carbs, and then I ate more carbs and for a day, it was like a day, maybe two. And then the scale went up and I was like, see, I can't eat carbs and lose weight. And then I went back to trying to low carb, which did not work. It was not working for me, but I was so quick to give up on something when really I also recognized, like, I can't go from trying to eat no carbs to eating six servings of carbs when my mindset wasn't there, when the psychology wasn't there, when I was terrified and anxious about eating carbs. I had to work on eating one small serving a day, one little bit, and then increase it to now I have one serving at lunch and then one serving at dinner. And then I'm going to play with it and I'm going to slowly increase it. It's like this threshold where I needed to recognize, okay, I can eat some carbs, and actually, now I can notice not only am I maintaining weight, or at the time it was before I got pregnant, so I was slowly losing weight, but I didn't have a lot of weight left to lose. So it was like a quarter pound a week, but I lost a pound in a month. And that was awesome because I only had a couple pounds to lose, but it was really about healing my relationship with food. So now I'm eating more carbs, and I'm also noticing I don't have as many cravings. I don't have as many food urges. So anyways, to go back to instant gratification, I kind of got a little sidetracked there, but we want to just notice when this comes up, okay? And we also want to notice when we get unwanted results, when we get unintentional or unintended results. And this was really funny. So I did a reel on Instagram about this morning. So I washed the dog's beds. I gave them a bath yesterday. They've been itching really bad. And I was like, okay, I think it was the shampoo that I used. They have dry skin and like dandruff. And so they're driving me crazy with their itching. And I was like, this needs to change. So I bought them like some new special medication or like slightly medicated shampoo to hopefully help with the itching and the dandruff and the dry skin. And then I also got them some probiotic vitamins. So I'm like, I'm just going to hit it with all the things. But then I also wanted to wash their dog beds so that they aren't stinky and smelly. There's the center liner that also smells a little bit like the fluffy, like actual bed part, like the stuffing part. And I was like, oh, why don't I wash that too? So I washed it separately with some of the towels. And then I had thought about taking them out and letting them air dry. And I was like, why don't I throw them in the dryer? That way they dry faster. It was my thought. And I was like, okay. So I open up the dryer this morning and it's just a mess of cotton. It's just puffs of cotton everywhere. And I just left. I was like, oh, I was not expecting that. That's not what I was going for. I was expecting these two little fluffy dog insert bed parts, and I was just going to stick it back in and have these great little dog beds again. And nope. Nope, didn't quite happen that way. I got some unwanted results here. And it's right when it's laundry, when it's the dog beds, when it's something that's easily replaceable, right? It's something I can laugh about. But this is the same thing that we want. Like, we want to have the same approach and mentality when we are taking action and we're not losing all the weight. When we are when we're working on our relationship with food and becoming more aware of our emotions, and we're still binging. Like, sometimes we still create unwanted results. When we have a goal to be dating and find somebody new, and we're just not connecting with the right people, or we have, you know, high hopes for a date and we go on it and we're like, that was terrible. And we come back and we're like, oh my gosh, never again. So we are always going to be creating results in life. Some of them we want, some of them we desire, some of them we enjoy, some of them we don't want, some of them we didn't want to create. Sometimes we're going after a goal. Let's say your goal is to lose 5 pounds in a month, and maybe you gain 2. Maybe you're like, this is the opposite of what I wanted, the complete opposite. Maybe your goal was to lose 5 pounds and then you lost 2. So it might not be that you didn't create anything or that there was no progress. It might be that your progress didn't meet your expectations. You should have lost more. Really, you wanted to lose 10 pounds this month, but you knew that losing 5 was going to be more realistic. So you've already now lowered your goal and then you still didn't hit it. So much of this plays on our mind and our psychology around our ability to lose weight, our ability to heal our emotional eating or binge eating, on our body image, on how we are going to show up in this world, right? And so often we get so discouraged and defeated so quickly. And the default thought is often like, this isn't working. This won't work for me. Maybe I'm just not supposed to have a thin body that I feel good in. Maybe I'm just never going to have this size body ever. Maybe I'm never going to have it again. Maybe I just need to accept that I'm in my 40s or my 50s and my hormones aren't the same. And maybe I just need to accept where I'm at. And we're just feeling resigned. We're feeling frustrated, irritated, disappointed. But that impacts the rest of your day. It impacts when you go to stand in your closet and you look at what to wear. It impacts when you're getting the kids ready for school, but you're already agitated and irritated to begin with. So you're more snappy. You're less patient. Maybe you skip breakfast because the scale's gone up or it's staying the same and you need it to go down in order to feel better. So now it's, oh, I'm going to restrict. Now I just have to do it more. Now I have to do it harder. Maybe you decide, I just need to run more. I just need to work out harder. I need to exercise longer. Maybe I'll do 2 classes today instead of just 1. Because we have this underlying thought of what I'm doing isn't working. This isn't fast enough. I'm not getting what I want in the time frame that I want it. I'm getting these unwanted and undesired results. And so we start making decisions not from a place of self-love and from a place of belief and a place of commitment, but from a place of I need to hurry up and get there because I don't get to feel the way I want to feel until I've lost the weight, until I've stopped binge eating, until I've stopped overeating. So now we're not going to fuel our bodies. We're going to try to starve ourselves in the morning. We're going to try to just eat salad. We're going to try to low carb. We're going to try to cut out, you know, entire food groups. We're going to say that certain things are bad or evil or off limits. We're really going to commit and just try harder and have more willpower. But it's that restriction that leads to the binging. And so anytime we get unwanted results, we want to start to look at, okay, now what? And this is one of the key things I help clients with is evaluating their results, whether they wanted them or not. And this is often where we don't always evaluate when we do create the things that we want, but that is just as powerful as evaluating when we don't create the things that we want. So you need to learn how to, number one, allow the emotion and feel it in your body and identify what is it? What am I feeling? Where am I feeling it? And why you're feeling that emotion is because of a thought. It's not because I'm feeling sad and disappointed because the scale went up 2 pounds. It's I'm feeling sad and disappointed because I had expectations that I was going to lose weight this week. I was telling myself I was doing so good. And now this weight increase on the scale means I actually wasn't doing good. I actually am not doing well. I'm not hitting the mark. So even when it feels uncomfortable, we have to be honest with ourselves. And part of this is no longer sugarcoating things. I am probably the queen of thinking positive, but to my detriment, to where I wasn't willing to feel negative emotions. I didn't want to. It wasn't safe. It wasn't allowed. So, and sometimes it was just like it felt threatening, like on a subconscious level. It was like, I don't want to feel this. So now, regardless, it's always just stay positive. Just keep swimming. Just stay focused, look for the silver lining. And sometimes, but there was this subtle undercurrent of shame and guilt and regret and self-loathing. And I'm going to beat myself up and I'm going to punish myself. I'm not going to feel the negative stuff. I can't do that. So really we have to just sit with and recognize, okay, the scale's gone up 2 pounds or the scale has stayed the same when I was expecting it to go down. And now here's how I'm feeling. Maybe it's frustrated. Maybe it's disappointed. Maybe it's discouraged. Okay. We just need to accept that right there. Can I sit with this right now of recognizing like I didn't hit my goal and that sucks and I feel discouraged and just allow that to be there. And then we want to start to understand, okay, what do I think contributed to this? This is where we can really manage expectations and make sure that we have some like realistic goals, realistic expectations, This is where we start talking to ourselves very lovingly. And I've talked about this a lot with clients over this past week, is the key is how you talk to yourself. The key is how you think about it. Really coming at it from a place of curiosity and compassion and a willingness to learn and see, okay, what can I do differently? What could I try? Why do I think this has happened? Has there been overeating or emotional eating? Did I binge this last week? Was I drinking enough water or sleeping? Where are my stress levels? And really start to kind of question, okay, why is it that I created this? Because there's any number of reasons. Like, you might be retaining water. Maybe that you had like higher salt intake. If I eat chips and salsa and queso at dinner one night, like the next day, the scale's typically always going to be up. Not because those are bad foods, but just my body's retaining more water. There could be hormonal fluctuations, depending on how much or how well you sleep. Things like stress, changes in exercise. If you are lifting weights, your muscles are tearing and then filling with water. So of course you're going to be a little bit heavier. There's all kinds of reasons as to why the scale could be up. So we want to look at what's going on. And also, have you been on track with your habits? What does the data say? What's the data telling you? And if you don't have data, that's the first step. Is, all right, now I need to spend the next 30 days creating it. Don't keep it all in your head. Start to track your habits on a piece of paper, in a document, in an app, track it somewhere. And then we always want to be on the lookout for thoughts like, I'm doing it wrong, or questioning, is this the right way? When we have thoughts like, this isn't good enough, or I should be doing more, we want to start to look at, what does hitting this goal mean about you? And really uncovering, why are you in such a hurry to get there? Because the more that we can really embrace the journey, and the more that we can love our life and our lifestyle and the process of losing weight, of ending emotional eating, the more, like the faster we are going to get there, and the more we are going to enjoy life. And then when you get there, you're actually going to be able to stay there. It's not, oh, I've lost the weight, but then it goes back up again. It's, oh yes, I've lost the weight and I can maintain this. And I can keep this going. So the goal is to keep believing and to stay committed as you're on the journey, regardless of what kind of instant results you are or are not getting. So we want to be kind to ourselves. We want to talk nicely to ourselves. And we want to also be honest and evaluate and really look at, okay, what was going on here? When the scale goes up, when you overeat, when you binge, when you aren't getting the desired outcome, we have to look at this from a place of self-love. And that is often why so many of us are resistant to failure. We're resistant to mistakes. We're resistant to looking at the data, to tracking things, because we have thoughts, I'm eating too much. I'm eating the wrong or the bad foods. I should be doing more. I should be doing better. But we have to be able to evaluate without shaming ourselves, without throwing ourselves under the bus. We want to be looking for progress. I had a client the other week, and one of her wins and one of the things we celebrated was that she didn't binge. Now, she still overate. And she was like, I overate this week, but it didn't turn into a binge. I didn't take it further. That is a win. That is progress. That is truly how you heal your binge eating and how you stop, is your binges turn into just overeats. That is huge. And we have to be able to celebrate that instead of just looking at the negative side of, oh, I still overate this week. I still wasn't perfect. I signed up for this program, or I hired this coach, or I started this thing, and it didn't magically change everything and the way my brain's been working for the last 40 years. Nope, it's not going to. This is just the beginning. And it's the beginning of starting to radically transform your life from the inside out in all the best ways and in a fun way. Like, sometimes I talk about hard work, and like, the hard work is it's the emotions. It's sitting with the emotions. It's recognizing what we're really thinking. And it's getting to these deeper levels of awareness of how our patterns work and how they're showing up and how they're replaying. Like, breaking your brain open in all the best ways. and learning how to trust that your results are coming and maintaining your belief all the way through the process. Because the weight loss, like the scale going down, is like the last thing that's going to change. Your composition is going to change. Your clothes are going to fit better. You're going to be like, have these better habits. You're not going to feel so bloated. You're going to have more energy. You're going to sleep better. Like, all of these other things are going to change often before the scale. So we need to stop putting so much emphasis on the scale and on that number and really look at all of the progress that we're making. And look at, like, we would never plant a seed. If you're ever going to grow a tomato, you would never plant a tomato seed, water it for a couple days, and be like, WTF, why don't I have a tomato? This is ridiculous. Like, it takes time. First, you have to, like, till the soil. Then you plant the seed. Then, you know, you may fertilize it. You got to water it. And then it's going to sprout up. Still no tomato, but it's going to sprout. And then you're going to start to get, like, more of the tomato plant coming. And then you're going to get the leaves. And the very, very last thing that you get is an actual tomato. Nothing has gone wrong. It's just we think that sometimes we should get that tomato immediately. I should plant the seed and I should have my tomato in 2 days. And right, and logically, when I give this example, it's, we all know, oh yeah, it's going to take a couple weeks. It's going to take a couple months, really, in order to get that tomato. And we're like, yeah, duh, that makes sense. But we don't always think about it with our goals. So this is the challenge, is to keep believing, to not dig up the seeds that have already been planted, to not throw away the tomato plant just because it's a plant and it hasn't started producing fruit yet. It's to keep believing and to keep going on the path that does work for you, where you are letting go of restriction, where you are letting go of your arbitrary food rules, where you are deciding what it is that you want to do, like the lifestyle that you can have, that you can maintain, the eating the foods that you like, that you enjoy, that feel good in your body, and keeping it really, really constrained too, in terms of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. So I had a client who was struggling for a few weeks, and we really simplified it. And I said, I want you to focus on just three things. And we narrowed it down. I was like, drink your water, move your body, and track your food. That's it. Those are the three core things. Anything you do above and beyond, like, fabulous. But these are the three things I want you doing. And then we started looking at what he was eating to get a little more clear on, okay, if there were any, does he need more? Does he need more carbs? Does he need more food? Like, where do we need to find some balance based on his energy and based on, like, how hungry he's feeling during the day? This is not a starvation diet. No, this is really, can I listen for hunger and stop when I'm satisfied? And can we adjust some things? But we didn't look at what he was actually eating for several weeks. And that's okay. Like, and he still lost weight. It was like 15 pounds in a month. Because it was really getting clear and intentional on, these are the small, simple, sustainable habits to keep repeating and to keep doing. And another example of a child learning to walk. The first step of a child learning to walk is them laying on their belly and being able to lift their head up. That's the first step. It's not when they're already sitting up. It's not when they're learning to crawl. It's not when they're standing. It's not when they're pulling themselves up. Like, the very first step is when they learn how to lift up their own head. And we never are going to criticize and shame a baby for not knowing how to walk, for starting to learn how to crawl and then falling back to their stomach, for pulling up and standing up and then falling over, for pulling themselves up and holding themselves steady for a few seconds and then falling down, for pulling themselves up, holding themselves, and then starting to take a step and then falling down. Do you, right? Think about that. It takes so long for a child to learn how to walk. Like, most kids, it's between 9 months and I think for, by most, it's probably 15 months, somewhere in there. And I know for my son, he had just turned one. It was a couple weeks after his first birthday. It was actually Thanksgiving Day where the entire month of November, he's like practicing, he's getting close. And Thanksgiving Day, he was just up and walking. And all of a sudden it clicked and he was doing it. But it was a year of progress. It was a year of incremental improvement. It wasn't just all of a sudden in a single day, he had this instant result of learning how to walk. He had been learning and his brain and his body had been connecting the dots the entire year. Sometimes it takes us longer than we expect. Oh my gosh, how have I been talking for this long? This is ridiculous. Okay, I need to get off. I was like, I have more stories and more examples. But this, thank you for joining me and just coming to sit with me. I hope you've enjoyed some coffee or a workout or a commute or a drive. Holy goodness. So I will save some of my other examples for another time. But it's okay that things take you longer than expected. And when we can get past that hump of wanting the instant gratification and the instant results, and we lean back and can lean into the timeline, that's when we're going to find the success. That's when we're going to create it. And we're going to know how to keep recreating it. We're going to know how to maintain those results. That is one of the biggest things. It's not just about creating the result once. It's about being able to keep recreating it, to keep maintaining it. That way we break this cycle of lose and regain, that creates such a mental psychological struggle. Like it deteriorates and really, like it sends your self-confidence and your self-worth and self-belief through the floor every time that happens. We've got to break this cycle. If you would like some help with this, then I would love to chat. And I promise I won't ramble on for an hour. But we're going to spend an hour looking at your life, looking at what's been going on for you. What have you tried in the past? What has, quote, what felt like it worked? What hasn't worked? We want to look at where you want to be and really learning how to trust your body. And no longer blaming your hormones or your age or any of these other things, but really taking radical responsibility for what's going on. And I'll help show you what the real obstacles are. Because I guarantee it's not menopause, it's not a new job, it's not moving states, it's not the divorce, it's not your kids, it's not any of this. But we have got to take radical responsibility for where we are at in life, and I guarantee you hold the power. You hold the key. You have the solution all within you. And I'll help you find that, and I'll help you see what those shifts are that you need to make. And if you would like some help and you want to work with me, then I'll also share more about what that looks like. You can work with me one-on-one or in a small group, and we'll really get to work on your relationship with food now. Let's do this now before the holidays kick up, before all of this, the family starts and the food and the parties and the cookies and the events. Like, let's do this now and let's go through the holidays losing weight, easily eating the foods that you like, the foods that you enjoy. And you'll show up in January 10 pounds down, 15 pounds down, because you really focused on small, simple changes. And you didn't restrict, you didn't deprive, and you also didn't say, screw it, I'll start over in January. I'll teach you how to be the person who still shows up for herself or himself, your goals and your desires, who can still eat the food that they love, that can still drink the drinks that they like and that they enjoy, and stay committed to their goals all the way through the end of the year in a way that works with their lifestyle, in a way that has them feeling so proud of themselves come January 1st. All right, y'all. This was like two podcasts in one. I hope y'all have a fabulous week. I will catch you next time. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.